Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 313, and it's a Friday. I know, we're tempting fate, but how bad can it be? It's pretty bad already. Anyway, how is everybody doing? Let me have a guess without looking. I reckon it was Jonathan. Oh, it was Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Yes, we had to open up early. This is because Mike is, and I'm using the term very carefully here, at, notice not participating in, at a murder mystery night. The Catanians need his technical assistance to make the Zoom wizardry happen. So that's where he is. But he shuffled off grumbling to himself because he wanted to be here. Poor Mike. Oh, Lola. Lola's had a ball today. Her face is absolutely filthy. She is totally covered in mud. So she's a happy dog. Do not know how this occurred. Because she was fine when she came back from a walk. I think she dive-bombed one of the puddles in the garden and that was the end of that. Anyway, she's looking lovely. It'll dry and drop off. It usually does. Oh, Sarah's cooking. Now, Jonathan's usually cooking this time on a Friday. You missed the clap for carers. It didn't really take off when they did the clap for heroes, to be honest. But like I said, when they started that, it was April and we were desperate to get out of the house. Now it's January. It's freezing. It's flooded. It's like Armageddon out there. So people not quite so bothered. I think it'd be nice if we could do the from the balcony thing that I think they were doing in Spain and Italy. But no, we can't do that. So it sort of came back for 1 week and then it went away and that was the end of that. Hello, Tracy. Hello, Anthony. Is Mike the murderer? I thought Mike would be good as the corpse, seeing as though he's sitting in there not saying anything. But I don't know. I've no idea. We'll get all the goss later. A topic for tomorrow night, I think. It's not going to be as good as the one Jonathan was at because, you know, Jonathan's not there. And he just looked fabulous in his outfit. I said to Mike, are they doing like dressing up and everything? No, was the short version. So I said, well, you know, what's the point? Then it's just a Zoom. But we'll see how it all goes. He's in there right now. Oh, Paul's on a work call watching the chat. Shall we have some fun in the chat? We do that to Paul every time we play with his mind. We'll say hello, Paul, in the chat. There we go. Should we say things like, oh, have you seen the new kit from Apple and that kind of stuff? Or would that just be cruel? Oh, I'm bad. What can I say? It's Friday. It's Friday and it's been a bit of a week here. But I put onto my calendar a 4 o'clock slot. I did. Had a meeting, which is a regular Friday meeting, and thought, yes, but you just sit there, bored, rigid. So I thought, what if I put in like a setup half hour where I can actually get the webcam set up for an unboxing? And Jonathan's going to like the unboxing. Just saying. Might be a wallet itchy moment, Jonathan. And set up the laptop to record said unboxing because it's all complicated. And I did just that and it worked. And I thought, just doesn't have the jeopardy of where's the webcam at 9:02 though, does it? Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Now I think I'm organised. I can guarantee it'll all come crashing down. Right, what else is going on? I think you will like it, Jonathan. I can't really give any clues whatsoever. It'll totally give it away. I can't say anything, which is so annoying. And I posted to Sarah about the drives that I had. I'd had that sat in drafts to send and I'd totally forgotten to send it. So now I've sent it. Those are the 2 8-terabytes that I've got. Just looking at the shelf, just a minute. 12 on one shelf and about 10 on the other. So I do have quite a lot of experience with those drives and they're all okay. They're just different styles. They were all 8 terabytes. The only one that I got that was more than that was one that I unboxed a couple of months back. It was a 14 terabyte from Western Digital. Only reason I got it, because it's quite a slow drive, but it's 14 terabytes. And I create hundreds of terabytes of data every week. So as far as I'm concerned, it's just like sling the backups on there, leave them be. But I did buy two of them, so there was a twin. So all the drives I have twins. I'm actually now, I think, officially out of 8 terabyte drives, although I do think I've got a 6 kicking about somewhere. I generally buy them when they're on offer at Amazon. So how you do that, if you go to the Amazon Deal of the Day page, on the left-hand side, there's computers and tech. You click on there, it will show you any drives that they've got on offer. Obviously, the other ways to do a search for it, but that's a little bit more hit and miss. I'm waiting for the 2 terabyte SSDs to come down in price again, because they have literally shot up. It's ridiculous. They're virtually double what they were before Christmas. Now I'm thinking, yeah, should have bought one before Christmas. I'm presuming it's a supply issue. And ultimately, it will come down to about the £120 mark again. Just not there right now. What is weird is that they've got the drive, but you have to click on see all buying options. And when you do, they're like £190. And just before Christmas, they were about £118. So wouldn't be buying an SSD just at the moment. Luckily, I've got some in the drawer, as you know. There may well be some in an unopened parcel that's been sat in the COVID cave since forever. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. Is what easy to set up? If this is the drive, very easy to set up. What you need to think about at the beginning is when you get one of these drives, the odds are it's going to be formatted to NTFS, which is a Windows format. I would reformat it to an Apple format unless there's some compelling reason not to. The only compelling reason not to I've ever experienced was when I very first got a Mac and I bought this drive. It was a Lassie, probably about a 1 terabyte at the time, maybe even 500 gig. Anyway, I got this drive and it was like, I'm going to put all of the stuff on there that I make on the Mac. So it was like, well, what format should it be? And I wanted desperately to make it the Apple format. But I only had one Mac and I knew if I did that, I wouldn't be able to read the data off the drive. So I pondered for a while and came up with the conclusion I would format it to an Apple supported format. Not that it can't write to NTFS, but at the time it was a bit of a nightmare. And I just think it's better to have it Apple format. I decided if something happened to my Mac, I would decamp to the local Apple store with my hard drive and get at the data that way. Luckily, now I've got more than one Mac and I don't have to worry about it. So I format it to Mac format. Right. Is it backup only or would I also be able to save larger files to it? It will work just as any drive does. So once you've got it plugged in, it will give you a message and it will say something about this drive can't be read. Or, well, one of two things will happen. It will either say it can't be for, it can't be read, in which case you need to format it, or it will just mount it and it will be NTFS format. So one or other will happen. On your Mac, you have an application called Disk Utility. And when you go into there, it lists the drives that are on your Mac and it lets you do work with them in terms of first aid or partitioning them. So you use that application to format it to whatever format you want. If it's an SSD, then Apple File System is probably the best way to go. If it's not, so I'm looking at which ones of mine aren't, then I use macOS Extended Journaled. And that gives you a full 8 terabytes, if that's the size of the drive, for you to use in any way you want. Now, if you want to make a clone of your main hard drive to that drive, then obviously that would mean you wouldn't be able to use it for anything else. But what you could do with your main drive is clone it to this external drive. But instead of cloning it to the drive itself, you can create a disk image, and you can clone your main hard drive to that disk image, and then the rest of the disk you can use in any way you want, and it won't wipe the rest of it when you make your image, because your image is wrapped up inside a container. So hopefully that will make enough sense to you. If not, then I could sort of demonstrate that, probably not live, but I could sort of demonstrate it. I could get a drive and plug it in and show you what actually happens. I've probably got screenshots of that. I've got screenshots of everything, but I don't think I've done a video on it. And I think Kim wanted something similar as well. I've not forgotten Kim. CQ Deb, how are you doing? So I'm just looking at that. Yeah, I've got one on here. I've only got two external drives on here. It's a long story to do with a USB hub that sort of works and sort of doesn't. But the SD that I've got is Apple format. And I have that. I could call that a scratch disk. And it is literally, if I'm crunching video, that's where it goes. If there's a temporary backup that I want, that's where it goes, because that one's not backed up. And then I've got this 8 terabyte drive on it, and I have a twin of that that's there in the evenings when I do my backup. You'll order one and see what happens. Do you know, the nightmare scenario is, do you remember when every time Helen got a hard drive, it lasted like a week and no one could work out what was going wrong with it? And she was getting so frustrated. But I've not had any kind of issues like that. I can certainly do a demo of how you make a clone of your main hard drive, if you like. That's something that I can actually show. Do you know, it was so well behaved last week with this new codec. I'm actually thinking I could probably do demos like that without the machine totally dying on me. That's actually a possibility now. So I can certainly have a think about that, because I've not forgotten Kim's bit. So the two go nicely together. Let me get a post-it note. That's what's needed. Oh, now I've got my Evernote home thing, which I'll actually show you tonight. Can actually show you. Will I be using post-it notes or the scratch thing? Who knows? Right. That was... Oh, come on, pen. Post-its are fine, pen less so. So with Kim, it was the setup, and now we're talking about configuring a drive. And a clone of the system disk, I guess. I have actually done that on this one, but I must admit, it hasn't happened every day, you know, with it being new. Tempting fate. The other thing was, we were going to get drives to put it on. Now, it's got a 1 terabyte internal, which will never be full. So what I did with the last one that went very iffy, I used a 2 terabyte for it. But I'm thinking I'll go back to a 1 terabyte for this one. Keep the 2 terabytes for when they're actually needed, like data. So that's probably what I'll do. So what's Kim's problem? Have I missed this in Slack? I thought I'd caught up in Slack, but I kind of went blind after I saw Pete's spreadsheet. Literally, I was seeing in Technicolor. Wow, is all I can say to that. Some people shouldn't be near Excel, should they? Mike's going to hyperventilate when he sees that. Why would you want to clone? Right, okay. You have in the machine that you've bought, in your iMac, a hard drive. An SSD, probably 1 terabyte. That's your system disk. So as you've installed software, that's where the software lives. As you've downloaded things, they're in the downloads folder. So that entire drive is your computer. If something happened to your computer and you put another one on the desk and you wanted to get up to speed with it, rather than sit there reinstalling app after app after app, if you have a clone of your hard drive on an external drive, and I usually use a 1 terabyte SSD, you can rebuild your machine just by cloning the clone back to the new machine. So it is a very good thing to have around. Another reason to use it is in the days when Mike and I used to vacate the building, which was usually about twice a year, we would go on the Catinians weekend away in February and then again in October. And both times, so that was October 2019 and February 2020, we did a YTP, a YouTube premiere. But I'm working on my laptop when I'm away. So the first year, I think I had the little one, the 11-inch MacBook Air. And the second time we went, I had the 13-inch MacBook Air, the newer one. But I took my clone with me. And if I had plugged that into my laptop, I could have booted effectively into a copy of my desktop Mac. So literally, by carrying around this SSD with you, you could plug it into another Mac and boot to it, and it would be your Mac that you would be booting into. So it's definitely worth a look at cloning. So a clone is literally just a copy of the entire drive. You can do one of two things. You can clone to an entire drive. So that would be my 1 terabyte SSD. You can also clone to an image, a disk image. And a disk image is just a file on another hard drive that when you mount it as a drive, it behaves like a physical disk drive. The reason I'm suggesting that you clone to that initially, What you could do is you could take your 8 terabyte drive and you could create a 1 terabyte partition and clone your hard drive to it. And then you could use the other 7 terabytes in any way you choose. So for data or whatever. I just think it's probably better to keep the two separate. But if you've only got the one drive, then you could do that as well. So you really need to sit down and have a think before it arrives what you actually want to do with it and then configure it accordingly. A 1 terabyte SSD, I think they haven't shot up in price quite as much as the 2 terabytes have. So they've gone up about £20, but you could get a 1 terabyte SSD for about £100. Now, whether you do that or not, given the price of an 8 terabyte hard drive is literally only about £130, you're getting 7 terabytes more for £30 extra. The SSD would just give you something bootable. So why I have one is, and this did actually happen, made the mistake of going downstairs one day to have dinner. So there we are in the extension having dinner, everything fine. It comes back upstairs. The machine had gone off, so black screens. But I figured, that, you know, it just powered down. Came to power it back on, dead. Completely and utterly dead. The hard drive had just died. I was able to reach my hand into a drawer, get out a 1 terabyte SSD that I had used the night before, and plug it in and boot to that. And I had back in front of me my Mac, as it was last night, the night before it happened. So all of the software was there, all of the configurations were there. The only thing I would have lost was anything that was downloaded during the day to the downloads folder, and that was it. Now, you might not need that. You might be able to take a little bit more time to recover your machine. So it depends whether you want it just as a clone, whether you want the ability to clone it, or whether you want the ability to store data. Now, from what you're saying, you want to be able to put files on it as well. So either get an SSD as well, or partition this 8 terabyte to 1 terabyte and 7 terabytes and make a clone on the 1 terabyte and use the 7 for data. Really, it's a temporary solution, this clone, because you've got AppleCare. So if the hard drive inside has absolutely gone, then you want to be able to send that back and then put an SSD in it. But when they do and it comes back to you, it's totally blank. So you might want to clone back from your backup so you don't have to install everything again. So sit down, have a think about it, and then we'll come up with a plan. Right, so we have a drive may or may not be failing. I've always found if a hard drive is failing, you can just sense it when you're sat working at it. It's a kind of slowdown, and then everything just seems to go back to normal, and then everything slows down again. And once you've experienced it once or twice, you'll just know when you're sat in front of it. It just doesn't feel right. But it's things like Today I had to reboot the keyboard because I was pressing a key once and it was doing it twice. It's a bit like that. You sense it. I would say there'd be a slowdown and then it would go back to normal, but then it will slow down again. And it'll be as though it's trying to write it and it's taking that fraction of a second longer than you think it should, or maybe even a few moments longer. And then even if it succeeds, eventually it'll get back up to speed and then it'll slow down again. So it's more of a speed thing. So like Paul's saying, the read and write speed's extremely low. Often the read speeds aren't bad unless there's a bad sector. If you run the first aid on it, it should tell you if there's a bad sector. Now, sometimes with a bad sector, the machine can carry on as normal. It just doesn't know to avoid that sector, so it keeps trying to write to it or read from it. You can supposedly fix a bad sector. I think I've had one occasion where fixing it worked. But mainly when it gets to that stage, that's kind of your first warning that this drive is not long for this world. So that's the time to be trying to get the data off it. Would Time Machine not do that rather than cloning? Oh, Time Machine. Oh, joy. I don't use it. Gave up on it years ago. Time Machine backs up certain things. And technically speaking, if it was working perfectly, it would enable you to recover information that you may inadvertently have deleted by rolling back. So it actually gives you a very pretty interface to roll back certain things. So let's say you delete a contact and 3 weeks later you think, darn it, shouldn't have deleted that. Technically speaking, you can go into your contacts and if you have a viable Time Machine solution there, you'd be able to kind of travel back in time, and there is this visual interface where literally it's like Doctor Who, you travel back in time, and when that contact appears, you can restore that single contact from it. Now, obviously, if what you've lost is a single contact, then something like Time Machine is far more granular for recovering that one piece of information. I've only ever seen it work in demos. Now, something similar happened to me in terms of I'd got it turned on iCloud and it went mental with my Keynote file. So I thought, well, now I've worked out what's wrong with it. It is on iCloud. That's got the backup thing going on. I'll roll it back. And what had happened was it had unilaterally deleted some slides. But when I say some, about 55 of them, it was going to be agonizing to recreate them all. I went through to the interface. There it was, you know, and there's the timeline to go back. And there was nothing there. It just hadn't backed it up. You are supposed to be able to set up a new machine and then restore it from a Time Machine backup, which indeed you can, but it doesn't back up everything. So there will be nuanced items that are not there that you still have to install from scratch or get from a backup. It does not back up everything. It's a handy backup to have if you've got a hard drive to stick it on, but I personally would not rely on it. Does anybody rely on Time Machine and nothing else? I definitely wouldn't. Jonathan doesn't understand S3. Is there a reason you don't use S3 for storage rather than buy lots of hard drives? S3 is an ongoing price. You pay for multiple things. You pay for uploading, you pay for downloading, and you pay for storage. Given the amount of data that I have, that would probably come to more than the hard drives. The other thing for me is I will just grab a hard drive in the days when we used to go out. So I've got a metal case, looks like a kind of camera case. And in it, there are slots for like 8 drives. So a lot of the time I have bare drives. So I will just pick the ones I want to take with me. There's a couple of slots for SSDs as well. And I would just carry it with me. That's just a personal thing. I mean, eventually I probably will do that. I certainly have things in Glacier storage, which is slightly more offline. So it's stuff that I could wait 4 hours for. So I'd have to put in a request to get this stuff, but it's a lot, lot cheaper. It's like 10 times cheaper to put stuff in Glacier storage. So if it was really old stuff that, you know, I thought I'm not going to need access to that, in an urgent manner, then I may put it up there. I think I just like my data where I can see it. That's probably just me. It just gives me more flexibility and I don't have to wait to download it. It's a case of just grab a drive, plug it in, and you're good to go. I do index these drives so I know what's where. I use an app. I've used this app for years, but I don't think I've put it in at the moment. Haven't installed it on this one. It comes from the people who make Toast. Well, actually, it came with Toast. I got it. I think it is standalone as well. Let's have a look if I can find it. I don't think it's that expensive. And all you do is you plug a drive in, you point this app at it, and you tell it to index it. And then you can eject the drive, but all of the content is indexed onto this app. It's like a database app. Is it CD or DVD? And was it catalogue? There we go. Disc Catalogue Maker. Now, the one I had, I got an upgrade from the one that I was using. Yeah, it's a full app. It's $38.99. It's very simple to use. It's difficult really to go wrong with it. It's been updated to work with the M1 Max, so it's bang up to date. And that means that you can search any number of drives and then just pick up the one that's got the data on it, because you know which one that is by looking at this catalogue. That's why it's important that they're labelled, and all of my drives are labelled. Paul should clone more often. Mine's set up to automatically do it overnight. Well, when I say overnight, I think I had it going about 4:30 and I moved it to 5 and then 5:30. So I pretty much put it 8 o'clock. I'm unlikely to be there at 8 o'clock. So I leave it doing that, but I do it every night. Hello, Pete. We've all seen the spreadsheet and we are recovering slowly. Are you supposed to make any sense out of that? Because I actually did try to make some sense out of it, but no, it totally escaped me. Tracy had Disc Catalogue Maker. I thought it only did CDs and DVDs. No, it doesn't. It does any kind of drive. It will automatically run when you put a CD in and a DVD, but it will, if you were to plug in a drive, it would also notice that had appeared. So no, I've done all my drives with it as well, including backup drives to make sure that they match the other drives. But that was just something I had years and years ago. So I don't think I even, it came with Toast and I'm not sure. I can't remember. Let me have a look in 1Password. I may have paid like, you know, $5 to upgrade it. Number 6, when was that? 2014. So I created it in 2009. And I updated it in 2014. So it looks like I'm still using the same license from 2009. But that is something I think I would actually pay for that. It depends how useful that would be to you. Would depend on how many external drives you've got or how many CDs, DVDs you've got with data on. And then it's very useful if you're thinking, do I have that file? So for me, it might be something like I'm downloading some series from the BBC. We won't talk any more about that. And I need to know, did I already have season 1 of this? Because there's no point downloading it again if I've already got it. So I will check Disc Catalogue Maker rather than actually try and go and find the drive that's got it on. So for things like that, it's particularly useful. Sometimes I need a source file from years ago. I mean, I actually had a conversation with Mike about the Munich assets. I remember creating this asset, and it would have been around 2001, because it's 20 years this year that we've been doing the Munich Memorial. And sometimes it'd be, you know, can I have that original graphic, the original graphic? And it's become a standing joke. Birdie, we call it. It's like the Phoenix, the Red Phoenix. But Birdie started life in 2001 in the vector application that I was using back then, which was CorelDRAW. The chances of accessing that particular file now, slim to non-existent. Luckily, the logo is not that complicated. That I just recreated it and it was fine. But if I did want the original, then I'd search for it on there, because it won't be on a drive I've got mounted right now. All Tracy's been thinking of finding a disc indexer. Well, Disc Catalogue Maker worked really well for me. Works well for me. And it has been around ages. But yes, I can guarantee it does actually work on hard drives, not just DVDs and CDs. Pete needs to gently suggest. Oh no, yeah, Pete needs to gently suggest how to make it a bit more readable without annoying the colleagues first day on the job. Yeah, there is that, isn't there? But you know, on the background, if they'd have used, rather than making the font a colour, if they'd just used the background, it would have been a little bit clearer. But there's possibly too many colours close to each other with no, not much use of white space, shall we say. They didn't even like differentiate the weekends, did they? I take your point though, maybe not on day one. Ah, Tracy got it with toast as well. It's probably worth the upgrade. It's the one I've used. I used to have a different one, but that was on Windows. So obviously anything that was indexed on Windows. But that's not failed me so far. So far, so good. And I've dragged the data with me from computer to computer to computer. At the moment, I probably haven't indexed my latest one, just purely because I probably haven't installed it yet. Spreadsheet was wonderful as a work of art to have a look at, but you know, to make any sense with. Oh, poor Pete. I could only imagine your horror as you opened it and thought, oh, there's clearly something wrong with the machine. I'll close that and open it again. Oh God, it's still the same. I honestly couldn't make head nor tail of it. I was trying to work out what days you were in and couldn't even manage that. Good job I have my own timetable thing going on, isn't it? Suggest conditional formatting based on name and two cells per table, column one for each name as a starter. Grey versus black cells for weekends. That'd work. That would work. I mean, if they did the conditional formatting thing, that would make life a whole lot easier to create the thing. They probably just don't know. I mean, the number of people that use a spreadsheet for stuff and you think, why? Because a lot of people use Word. Now, obviously, they've got as far as this is probably better in a spreadsheet. But I'm thinking of things like we have at church a welcomer's rota. We don't have now. We have somebody stood there looking like Darth Vader with a gun pointing at you to take your temperature. But back in the day, it used to be a big smile, shake of the hand, and here's a hymn book. Well, back then, the lady who did the rota would send it in Excel and you looked at it and it was just like, what the hell? You couldn't work out when you were on. And I had to get that on the website. And I had to redo it. There was no way you could copy anything because it was just such a mess. And they'd also put on, because it was going via email to the people concerned, they'd put mobile phone numbers on it as well. Well, I think that's what it was. Could have been a random date of birth, I suppose. No, it was mobile phone numbers, which had to come off before it could go on the website anyway. So I feel your pain. I feel your pain that these people should not be allowed to be let loose with a spreadsheet. You looked at it and had to email the guy after 20 minutes to confirm you were reading it right. He probably thinks it's a magnificent work of art. I think you're going to have your job cut out there trying to get that made decent. You were one of those people until Mike showed you the light. You're terrible at it. We've got an idea of where to look for things now. Thing is, that's not your primary job, is it? And Mike and I face two types of people. There's the type of people who are like, IT's not my job, but I need to have a certain level of IT knowledge to do my job, which is fine. And then there's the other ones who actually say to us, IT shouldn't be a profession because it's integrated in everybody's job now. And I just smile sweetly. They really believe that because they can open Excel and add two cells together, that's all they need. That's as far as Excel goes. Don't do any more than that, does it? And anybody can do that. And then they see something that's Mike's built as a solution and their jaw just drops. I mean, it's the same with anything. you look at like Notion, and I see some people with Notion and I'm like, why are you making another page? Oh, and another one. Oh, no, and 10 more. When there's a database there, which would skyrocket your productivity 100%. But they don't know. But the worst kind of people are the ones who think they do and have no clue why you're there. They consider that you are totally superfluous until they come crashing down and then come knocking on the door. But sometimes with these kind of people, it does take a while. The rota coordinators, thankless dad, you wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. You don't want to be. In that case, if you don't want to be asked to take it on, you're going to have to tread very, very carefully, Pete. Otherwise, it'll be your job. That nearly happened to me with a different church rota. The complicated rota was the Eucharist rota, which was done in a spreadsheet, and it did have some kind of built-in intelligence with it. The guy who did it, I mean, he's nowhere near as good as Mike, but he could use a spreadsheet. And he made it that if it was a couple, they were on together unless they didn't want to be on together. Because it made it that if they went on holiday and two people were on the same week, then they both had to get cover. Anyway, he did this to perfection. And then for some random reason, they decided to take this rota back in-house to get the parish secretary to do it, who took the last spreadsheet, ripped out all the intelligence and started copying and pasting. I can only... the mess. Not good. But there was... when it got taken off this guy, his wife would say to me, they'll have you doing it, they'll come your way. And they're our best friends. And I thought, there's no way I can take this on. You know, I don't know why you've taken it off him in the first place. But if I took it on, it would become a bone of contention between me and them. And I didn't want to take it on. So I kept my head very, very low down on that one. I think it was sort of mentioned, like, maybe you could have a look at it. And I said, well, I'm a little bit busy this week and next. And luckily, it never came back my way. So I do understand exactly what you mean. You definitely, definitely don't want to be getting lumbered with it. Because then there'll be somebody who comes in, some young whippersnapper who says, I don't like this. Mind you, then you can hand it off to them. That's a good idea after you've done it. And you have many apps open and how many Chrome tabs? I found with this new Mac, Paul, don't know if you've found the same, doesn't bleat about tabs at all. The old one would bleat as soon as I opened it before I had a tab open. This one, not bad at all. Not even when I've got 3, 4, 5 browsers running, which I had this afternoon because I was doing 5 different types of jobs. Kim, if only I could do the same 1 or 2 tabs open. Should we have a look how many I've got open? I never mean to leave them open. But you know what you're like with, I'll put that somewhere in a minute. And before you know it, you've got another 500 tabs open. I'm terrible like that. I am, honestly. Oh, I did find this today that I thought was interesting. You know, when we talk about the COVID cave, I think I've found the perfect one. Where is it? Cornwall. So we could have Graham in charge of it. He's down Cornwall way. But what do you reckon to that, Kim, for a COVID cave? I reckon that one's definitely got legs. mind you, yeah, they could send it on from there, couldn't they? Oh, we also had the stats as well today. BBC were delirious with them little selves. They were telling us that there'd been a change in the number of people in hospital over the last day. There's 155 less today than yesterday. And I thought, and they stopped there, put a full stop. And I thought, wouldn't this be because the people have died? So that's not exactly good news. Because I think if anyone had left and they were up and walking like through a field of daisy, we'd probably have seen it. So I'm thinking some of those must at least have died. But you know the reporters, we've got to stay away from them. Oh, Pete is the young whippersnapper. Youngest consultant in the department. Oh, wow, Pete. That means you will get all of these jobs. Sometimes they get better. Really? Not according to the news. No, they didn't actually say what this 155 was, but I would have thought if there was a... I mean, don't they know? If it's 155 less, do they not do the maths with it? Maybe they don't. All we're getting told is it's much better today. Much, much better. As another 1,401 people died. Oh, and yet there's a story on the paper that I saw last night. Basically, if you get COVID... Now, they've since backtracked on this and I'm not surprised. If you get a positive COVID test, you are obviously supposed to self-isolate. People aren't. So the government's bright idea was, Kim's going to love this, that if you get a positive COVID test, they'll give you £500 to stay home. Mm. If I had £500 a week for all the weeks I've spent at home, 46 of them, just saying, yeah, that wouldn't be bad, would it? But apparently you've got to have the positive COVID test first. And I'm thinking, there are people in this world to whom £500 is an absolute fortune. And they would willingly go out and catch it for that. So again, government, not quite thought that through, have we? Spent all day backtracking it, I believe. Good night, Pete. Exactly, Sarah. That was the first thing I thought. Jonathan's got a good plan there. Could do with the 500. Go out and party with 13 people. Won't get a fine. 500 quid off. Exactly. You see, if we can pick holes in this after 10 seconds, it does make you wonder, doesn't it, about the collective IQ of the government. Hmm. I mean, there are other ways to keep people home that are cheaper than that and would give the army some target practice. Just saying. But no, that was their grand scheme. And I thought, I'm pretty sure I know people who'd get COVID for £500. And I know that they know about long COVID and I know they know about death, but they do it anyway. They would. I actually know people like that. Because they've been playing kind of Russian roulette with it since last March. I'll just go out and get me hair done, nails done, feet done, you know, delete as appropriate. Or in fact, don't delete as appropriate. Go for all three on three different days. Hmm. Yes. You are no longer the worst R rating in the US. Oh, well done, Kim. 8 states are worse. Now, that's not particularly good, is it? You need a negative COVID test to fly now. Wow. And that people are photoshopping their own. There are no words. I mean, I think I would have more concern for somebody that I don't know than most people seem to have for themselves. It was like there was a thing, I think this was about 2 years ago. Somebody on a flight had a nut allergy. And you know how the air is circulated on a plane. One of the cabin crew said, we have somebody with us with a severe nut allergy. Can I request that you don't eat nuts? And this guy was like, you're not taking my right to eat nuts away. And opened a bag. And this girl promptly went into shock with it. It's like we say that there's no... People just can't contain themselves for like not shouting for 60 seconds during a minute's silence and not eating a packet of nuts for a couple of hours. When, do you know, if the nuts weren't there, they probably wouldn't have eaten them anyway. There are no words for the level of stupidity that has been shown in the last 12 months. There you go. We can't stop them partying. Heard about a wedding with 150 people. Mike read one out to me. I don't know if you've seen this one, Jonathan, but it was a classic. it was a party. It was a wedding party. It could have been the one with 150, but I thought they had 400 at this wedding. Anyway, it was down in London and it was at a Jewish school. So they didn't have it in the synagogue because they might have been noticed. So with the school being closed, they had it in the school. Thing was, they then got raided by the police. So they all got caught anyway. And I was thinking that was bad enough. But as Mike followed it up with the final paragraph, there were just no words. It said, this synagogue where the rabbi caught COVID and died last April. And I thought, well, what's their excuse? Because their rabbi actually died and they had this party anyway, a wedding party. There are no words, are there? Oh, I give up with them. I do. That must have been the one, Anthony. As I heard it, it was the rabbi. Either way. Oh, an after-hours topic. Is this for making your own COVID? I'm negative. Mm. Do you know, there was actually one demo I did think of. It wasn't about COVID directly. It was a presentation. Somebody pinged me and wanted a presentation that was medical themed. So every slide looked that you would know when you looked at it was a medical presentation. And I thought that's actually quite interesting, isn't it? How would you tackle that? So it's kind of semi-related to that, isn't it? How would you put together a COVID presentation telling people what not to do? I would just take the reverse psychology approach. Go out, have a party. What's the worst that could happen? Oh, yeah, you die. But you know what? Do it anyway. I insist. I don't believe in your right to say no. I insist you go and have a party. At which point you'd be like, oh, she wants me to have a party. I'm not having a party. Not doing that. No, it's a bad idea, that. So maybe that's what needs to happen. Mm. What can you say about what's going on in the world at the moment? And, well, later on in After Hours, you will get to see the week in Manchester. It has been horrific. Horrific. Just wait till you see the pictures. There are no words that can describe it well enough. I mean, it's not funny, if you know what I mean, but taken together as all of these things happened in a single day, you won't believe it, because I live here and I don't. And that's before we get on to Mike and Lola's adventure. I think that was Thursday morning. It was either Wednesday morning or Thursday. Could have been Wednesday. But that one's in. I've got pictures of that in all its glory. Lola's not totally recovered yet. Oh, so exciting. So exciting for them. So we've not really had much in the way of news from Apple yet, have we? Apart from endless rumours, which, to be honest, are recycled from last year. If you looked at the news sites this time last year for Apple, they'd be spouting the same stuff. AirTags imminent. New iMac imminent. Everything imminent. And yet, no. They are talking about a new iPad Pro for March. That's about the only one I believe so far. Because the other one was, you know, and the car will be with us by the summer. No, it won't. Don't be ridiculous. No, it won't. If the AirTags, we've actually had pictures of them for over a year and they're still not out. The car? Not happening this year. Kim doesn't understand the parties. I must admit, I don't. I can understand a desire to maybe leave the house for a walk. Or just literally breathe air outside. I can understand that. But having a party is gratuitous. And unless they know they're positive, in which case, you know, they can't be any worse. They're already positive. But then if they go to a party, they could infect other people. So that's not good. But if they don't think they've got it and they go to this party, what are they thinking that anybody with it wouldn't go? Because a lot of people don't know they've got it because they're asymptomatic, but they're contagious. I wouldn't have thought that was difficult to understand. So these people partying, there are just no words for the level of stupidity. There really isn't. And if they're youngsters, you know, around the age of like 18, I know at 18 you're an adult, but you're probably still living with mum and dad. Shouldn't mum and dad be saying you're not going out? If they've got more sense. I honestly don't know. Why are they trying to get people out to drive their cars? I actually seriously mentioned to Mike, and I know it sounds a bit tin hat-ish, but I said to Mike, the complete ineptitude for almost a year where the Home Secretary said she wanted to close the borders, as did I, to be honest, and I've not got her salary behind me to come up with these ideas, but I said that, and that they've kept it until next week, so 10 months. That is beginning to look more than just inept. It's beginning to look as though, if you know that line from Scrooge, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. If they'd be minded to die, let them get on with it and reduce the surplus population. It's beginning to sound a lot like that. As though, yeah, 2 million. Yeah, but we can do without 2 million on the planet. There's a lot of people on the planet. thing with this thing is it's not natural selection, is it? Would it, would that it were, if you set foot out of the house, the virus knew that you were up to no good and it attacked you. But the person who had to leave to take their cat to the vet, they're fine. But it doesn't work like that. So I don't know either. Look, at HIV behaviour, people still had sex when they knew they had it and didn't tell their partners. There was, and I saw a documentary from Canada, and there was a guy in Canada who was running round deliberately infecting people. He was talking them into spending the night with him. Many of them wanted him to use a condom, and he just went and put holes in it. He was deliberately infecting people. And apparently at the time, there was no legislation in Canada that fitted the situation. So therefore, they couldn't really do anything with him. Once they knew he was doing it, though, and you've also got at the time, which has been changed since, but there was, if Canada is based on English law, in English law, the definition of murder was with malice aforethought, meaning deliberately, and the death taking place within a year and a day after the event that directly caused the death. This was also an issue when it came to Hillsborough, because someone's on a ventilator for 5 years. If they die, then that's not murder. Luckily, they changed that in the mid-2000s. Hello, Simon! You're deliberately doing the uppercase thing now, and we know it. But what Canada did was they changed the rules, and they did actually catch this guy, by which time so many people had been infected. But I know what you mean. So, some do it anyway, some do it deliberately. There's no logic. There really is no logic. Ah, good thinking, Simon. We know it's you then. Oh, excellent thinking. I'm impressed by that. Oh, yes. Are you in the Slack group and have you seen Pete's spreadsheet? Pete's spreadsheet is possibly going to be the title of the show. Pete's multicoloured spreadsheet. Poor Pete. And I had to make sense of it. Rest of us, no chance. I spent a good 10 minutes looking at it and I'm none the wiser. It's his new schedule. I don't know when he's on. I'm hopeful that he does. That's about it. But he's in danger of being the young whippersnapper, like young Jonathan, that gets lumbered with the jobs. When you make a suggestion as to how it could be improved, all of a sudden, it's your job. So he's very wary of that happening at the moment. Do check it out, Simon. It's interesting, to say the least. Just think rainbow colour. Well, somebody put on it, you'd be OK with a pair of glasses. If you had the sunglasses, you'd be OK. It really is that bright. Ah, dear, dear, dear. It's all very quiet on the murder mystery front, isn't it? Yep, not a peep. I presume they're doing things and Mike's just sitting there watching. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Yes, Mike is officiating at a murder mystery Zoom event. And like I said, shuffled off grumbling because he wanted to be here with us. So he's probably in there reading the chat. Or keeping an eye on who's murdering who. But like I said, it won't be as good as Jonathan's because Jonathan's not there. Ah, Tracy and the sunglasses. It definitely needed something, didn't it, Tracy? It did. Oh, and you've now a new variant for COVID, the Californian variant. Oh, would this be where they were having all the parties with the kids in the summer? The graduation parties and stuff. One kicked it off big style, and I'd never heard of this woman. But apparently she's big in the planner space. Erin Condren, and she makes planners, like spiral bound planners, and she didn't dissuade her daughter from, well, not just her daughter and their friends, they had this drive through graduation thing so the parents could see them from a car. But then they decided they were going to march from wherever this graduation had been down to the beach for a party. And obviously you couldn't do that at the time. It was the summer. So they said that this march was a Black Lives Matter march, which meant it was exempt. Well, the daughter, yeah, she'd probably get criticised for it. But the mum who's got this business, people completely blanked her. and stop buying it. That there were people burning their Erin Condren planners. A lot of other ones came up, and then people were saying, well, let's support these youthful black entrepreneurs who are creating planners. I don't think her business has recovered yet. All for a party. Again, I can understand it with a girl being 17, but, you know, set an example, which was what people were saying. The £500 nonsense. Oh, yes. We mentioned that. We were plotting and planning. How many of your friends do you think would do that? And when I say friends, maybe acquaintances, because you wouldn't be friends with someone who would do that. But I can see it happening. I can see it happening. I mean, there's talk, there's some government benefit, which is £20, I think. I'm not sure if it's like a one-off top-up to the standard payment, but anyway, there was something about doing away with it and people were up in arms, and that was £20. 500? You're just asking people who are desperate to go and catch COVID, basically, because to them, £500, would I catch COVID for £500? No, I wouldn't go. I would not deliberately go and try and get myself infected with COVID for £5 million. But there are people who've £500 is probably worth £5 trillion to them. And they would. Some may even be thinking, you know, well, if the worst comes to the worst, you know, then the family will have it. It really was a stupid suggestion on his part. But there again, it was a bit of a leak, wasn't it? So did they actually suggest it, or was it an under the table briefing to Laura Kunzberg and her ilk that, well, we'll put this out, we'll see how people react. Oh dear, they don't like it. No, that was never our policy. We never said that. Never said that at all. Because that's how the government roll at the moment. There's a lot of hypocrisy out in California on all levels. That seems to be what I've got from there. They seem to like to do what they like to do and don't seem to care much about other people and the impact it could be on those. Is it retrospective? Simon could do with a new Mac Mini. Well, Simon, you should get four for a start. There was four of you. Now, for 2,000, you could get a couple of Mac Minis and have change. It is utterly ridiculous. It really is. A lot of teens who think they're invincible will be very tempted. Yeah, because what they're saying is it's not going to be means tested or anything. But I can't see it happening. It's too expensive. It really is too expensive. Plus the fact, I mean, can you imagine, like, Boris had it? Can you imagine giving Boris £500? There would be uproar. Oh, and Carrie had it as well, didn't she? Not sure about baby Boris. Because in vitro at the time, so maybe not. But, you know, I could actually see that deliberately happening. I could. It wouldn't be a reach, let's put it like that. Not like they're thinking it would be, that it's for people in real need. But how can you target people in real need if it's not means tested? And then if it's means tested, that kicks it off. So, not good. And I love the way the BBC have like, oh, the daily cases are starting to fall. It's starting to fall. It'll be up again. They just can't seem to. In fact, is it the people in the country that are the problem, or is it the media in the country that's the problem? Because the first sign of it going down, well, the first sign of it going up, it's yes, but it's going up, but it's not as bad as it could be. And then the second one day is lower than another. Right, that's it, it's on the way down, so we can all go out now. And on another page, you've got this bit telling you that even when we vaccinated like 85% of the population, it won't be safe to go out. Which does beg the question why we're doing it anyway, but, you know, I digress. I get so, that's why I'm banning myself from going to the news sites, because it just gets me excited, which is not good. No, it's not good. No. Mrs. Simon can't see it happening either. But then you didn't think we'd get Boris as PM and never thought the idiots would get Brexit through either. Yeah, there is that about it, isn't there? I must admit, I never thought any of that would happen. But unfortunately, all of it did. And it could only actually get worse, couldn't it? When you look at the alternative, there isn't really a good option at the moment. We could certainly do with somebody appearing who is a good option. Kim's not certain how true it is, but read a lot of the troops got in the capital have come down with COVID. Well, that wouldn't surprise me. There wasn't much social distancing. And I know they spent $500,000 in 5 hours, according to Anthony. Deep cleaning the White House. But did they take as much care with the Capitol. I mean, obviously they had to tidy up, but there was no social distancing or masks there either. Well, only full facial masks, so they didn't know who they were. Surely that needed just as much of a deep clean. So I could believe it, Kim, let's put it like that. It's like the figures from here for after Christmas. We knew they would go up because people had met up on Christmas Day. But then Boris said they could. And I don't know whether 5 days... He turned 5 days into one day and then sent the children into school for one day. But if they're now off till after Easter, what was the point in sending them in on that one day? Because somebody somewhere will have caught it that one day. And I know many, many teachers, because Catholic schools tend to prefer Catholic teachers. So therefore, from church, I probably know more people who are teachers than anything else. And they're still in every day working because they're looking after the children of key workers. But that's gone up from 40 key worker children. This was out of, I think, 250. It's now gone up to 87. Now, clearly they're not children of key workers. They're just the parents can't be doing with it. So they send them in and say that they're a key worker and they need to carry on working. So maybe it's reduced by half for the teachers, the risk, but they're working longer because they're supporting the children who are sat in front of them. And when they're doing that, they can't then be online with the children who are at home. So everything's taking twice as long. Good night, Jonathan. See you later. They were sleeping together and resting together in close proximity. That's what it looked like when I saw them. They were kind of on kit bags on the floor. So I could imagine it because they don't have facilities for all those people. You've also got to eat, drink and whatever together as well. Oh, it's horrific. It really is horrific. If there was a government in the world that had got this right, we'd be doing well. But they're going back and visiting Wuhan this week in a series on the BBC. And they seem to be getting on better than we are at the moment. They have sort of got it under control. And they haven't got any variants either. The variants coming from elsewhere. And basically the news headlines today are this new variant will kill you. The new UK variant is more deadly, suggests emerging evidence, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think they've even got enough stats, to be honest, to make claims like that yet. But who knows? Who knows? Anyway, I've got to get off as well because I've got to get this machine ready for after hours. Paul nominates the New Zealand and Victorian models. New Zealand was amazing, wasn't it? They got it down to nothing. But then it was really strict. And while she's closing airports and putting quarantine in for 2 weeks, we're letting anybody in without so much as a temperature check and then wondering why the stats are bad. There hasn't been much in the way of leadership, certainly in this country. During this, as far as I'm concerned, it's the grey men in suits making a complete hash of it. I think Kim and I should be in charge. Kim could take one half of the world and I could take the other. And it would all have been over by August. And mind you, if it was all over by August, we wouldn't be being marooned, would we? We could have a celebratory show afterwards when we fixed it all. But I really think it would have all been dealt with by now. There you go. We've got the wrong people in charge. They seem to be enjoying themselves a little bit too much. But for the moment, I'm going to say a good night from me. And I'll say good night from Mike, who will be with us later. And we'll see you very, very soon on After Hours. Stay safe, guys.